Chapter 7. The dream still clung to the ragged edges of his consciousness, its lingering dread and burdensome suspicions hanging like an albatross from his neck. The corridors of the Pride of the Emperor were never silent, the echoes of screams drifting from one end of the ship to the other in a constant choir of debauched indulgences. The majority of these screams were of pain, but many were of delight. It grew harder and harder to tell which was which with the grey passage of days. Yet this area of the ship was abandoned and forgotten, like a dirty secret a man might hope will go away if only it can be ignored for long enough. No light or music or screams filled this wide hallway, no disjointed pavans of misery, and no fleshy tributes to masterful excruciation. It felt like this place didn't exist, as though it was out of joint with the rest of the ship. Lucius turned a corner and found himself before the great arched doors to La Fenice, and here the illusion of abandonment was dispelled. Six warriors stood before the doors, clad in scored armour of blues, pinks and purples. They wore tattered cloaks of gold weave that hung in asymmetrical waterfalls from the spikes worked into their shoulder guards, and crimson raptors surged from ruby flames on their breastplates. All six carried golden-bladed halberds, the edges of which crackled with a faint haze of killing light. A flesh-masked warrior stepped towards him, the blade of his halberd spinning to face him. Lucius watched the warrior's movements, calm, assured, and smooth. He was unafraid of Lucius, which marked him out as being particularly stupid. "Phoenix Guard," said Lucius with a grin of relish.
"Entering La Fenice is death," said the warrior,
his voice muffled by the skin mask.
"Yes, I heard," replied Lucius amiably. "Why is that, do you think?"
The Phoenix Guard ignored the question and said,
"Turn around, swordsman. Leave here, and you will live."
Lucius laughed, amused at the sincerity, if not the seriousness, of the threat.
"Really?"
said Lucius, resting his palms on the pommels of his swords.
"Do you think you and your friends can stop me from getting inside?"
The rest of the Phoenix Guard spread out, forming an arc of killing steel around him.
"Leave now and you live,"
said the warrior before him.
"Yes, you said that. But here's the thing," said Lucius. "I want in there, and you aren't going to stop me. Trust me, it will give me great pleasure to take the six of you on at once, but I think that might be a rather one-sided experience by the end."
Lucius saw the attack coming in the Phoenix Guard's eyes. Energized carbon steel clove the air, but Lucius was already moving. Lucius ducked below the sweep of a halberd, and the Terran blade leapt to his hand. Its tip plunged into the groin of the flesh-masked warrior. Lucius gave a savage twist, and the blade cut up through his opponent's femur and hip to remove his leg. Blood gouted from the wound, and the warrior fell with a cry of mingled pain and surprise. Lucius darted to the side, his Lairan blade cutting into the flank of the warrior to his right. Armour parted before its alien metal, and the warrior's guts looped out as though eager to be free of his flesh. Altered organs heightened every sensation, and Lucius laughed with the vividness of his surroundings. The darkness became multifaceted, the smell of blood a heady cocktail of unnatural chemicals and biological agents, the gleam of dim light from flashing weapons like the explosive fanfare that marked the end of the great triumph. His breath sounded impossibly loud, his blood like thundering rapids, and his opponents came at him with what seemed like deliberate slowness. A halberd stroked his shoulder, and Lucius rolled with the arc of the blow. He sprang to his feet, blocked the return cut, and rolled his wrists around the weapon's haft, stabbing the blade through the Phoenix Guard's helmet. The warrior dropped without a sound, and Lucius swayed aside from a scything halberd blow intended to cleave him from skull to pelvis. Lucius counterattacked with blistering speed, his first cut removing the warrior's blade, the second opening his throat. A third blow all but severed the head, and he threw himself flat as another spiked halberd stabbed for the space between his shoulder blades. He came to his knees, swords crossed before him to catch the blade as it descended. The strength behind the blow was awesome, far in excess of his own, but Lucius twisted his blades to drive the blade down into the deck. Steel shrieked as the crackling blade tore up the decking. Lucius thundered his fist into the Phoenix Guard's helmet, cracking the visor and drawing a grunt of pain from within. The warrior lost his grip on the halberd and blocked a dazzling cut to the neck with his forearm. Lucius's blade severed the arm at the elbow, and he spun inside to ram the Laren blade through the warrior's chest. His victim fell with a gurgling cry, grabbing Lucius's wrist and dragging him down with him. Lucius was pulled to the deck, but kept the momentum of his tumble going as the last Phoenix Guard's halberd swung for him. He twisted in the air and landed lightly on the balls of his feet, leaving the blade trapped within the Phoenix Guard's chest. Armed only with his Terran blade, Lucius dropped into a theatrical en garde position, keeping his sword high and moving the tip in tiny circles. An old trick, but the Phoenix Guard was not a subtle warrior, and Lucius saw his foe's eyes follow the motion of the blade. Lucius leapt forwards, feinting right as the warrior realized his mistake. A clumsy block swept around, but Lucius had already altered the angle of his thrust. The Terawatt clans of the Urals had forged the blade in the days before Unity, and its edge had never failed him. Until now. The tip of the blade caught the broken nub of an eagle's wing on the warrior's plastron, and the impact sent a jolt of force along the sword. It snapped, and the tip sprang back at Lucius in a spinning arc of razor steel. Even Lucius's preternaturally swift reactions could not save him, and the shard sliced a deep furrow from his left temple to his lower jaw. The pain was so sudden, so blissful, and so wonderfully unexpected that it almost killed him as he took a moment to savour it. Given a reprieve from death, the Phoenix Guard thrust his halberd towards Lucius. The tip kissed the metal of Lucius's warplate, but that was as close as it came to the swordsman's skin. Lucius hacked the weapon's haft in two with his broken sword and waved an admonishing finger. "That was careless of me," he said with a faintly embarrassed sigh. "Imagine being killed by a sluggard like you. I'd never live it down." Before the warrior could reply or lament the loss of his weapon, Lucius spun inside his guard and executed an exquisitely aimed decapitating strike that sent the Phoenix Guard's head spinning across the chamber. Lucius bent to retrieve the Laren sword, twisting the handle back and forth to ease the pull of flesh. The blade slid clear, and he tore the mask of dried skin from the first warrior's face, curious to see what someone who thought he could fight him and live looked like. It was an unremarkable face, and in the flat planes of its features, he saw Loken's mocking grin. Lucius's good humour evaporated in an instant, and he stood with a grimace of bitter memory. He stamped down on the warrior's face. Once, and the bone broke. Twice, and the skull cracked. Three times, and it caved in, a wet crater of pulverized brain matter and skull fragments. Angry now, Lucius cleaned his sword on the dried rag of skin, his mood changing like the wind as he held up the skinned face before him like an actor upon the stage. "Trust me. You're better off," he said, gesturing to the broken skull of the warrior from whom he had taken the flesh mask. "He was an ugly bastard, that one." He tossed the face aside, making his way to the arched doors of La Fenice. They had once been adorned with gold and silver leaf, but were now virtually bare. Frantic madmen, desperate to relive the beautiful horrors of the Maraviglia, had worked their hands to bloody nubs of bone in their attempts to gain entry. Lucius saw fragments of splintered fingernails embedded in the doors and plucked a few from the wood, enjoying the thought of how it must have felt to have them ripped from the nail bed. "What do you hope to achieve?" he asked himself. He had no answer, but the days since the Legion's departure from Prismatica had only intensified his desire, his need, to see what lay behind the sealed doors to the abandoned theatre. This was disobedience on a grand scale, and the very illicitness of the venture was reason enough to seek it out. The killing of the Phoenix Guard made withdrawal a moot point anyway. Lucius pushed open the doors and entered the abandoned theatre.